Show that's focused on investing strategies for today's needs and tomorrow's goals. This is Bucket Strategy Investing, presented by the Wealth Advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Now, here are Johnny Dean and Rick the Professor Plum.
Yeah, we welcome you back. Another hour of Bucket Strategy Investing, the program that helps you make better money moves. Once again, we're getting set to deliver the best in money information to you. Professor Rick Plum, our Brain Trust Advisor in Chief, is back with me, Johnny Dean, this hour from Lucia Capital Group. We're standing by to take more of your money questions. Now, your participation is required, all right? It's not optional. It's required. So, as always, it's your duty to just give us a call right now. Some phone lines are open. 877-PLANNER. We're taking your calls. Your assigned task is to give us a call right now. That phone number again, 877-752-6637. Spells out PLANNER, of course, on your phone. Take full advantage of everything that the Brain Trust has to offer. That's my advice to you. You can call us or send us an email, too. You go to wealthed.com. You click on the Find Your Answer link there near the top of the page, and we'll answer it here on the program. Now, as you probably know, our goal here on this show is to deliver to you what I said was the best in money information. It is what we do best. And you can get in touch with the Brain Trust both on the air and off the air if you want to set up a face-to-face meeting with an advisor. Maybe you want to schedule an appointment or just have a question that needs to be answered. Well, call Professor Plum or any of the advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Their off-air number, 800-644-1150. Your individual goals and needs require a financial plan that is uniquely tailored to you. The advisors have made themselves available to go over your plans, your goals, and your individual situation, devise a bucket strategy that works for you. Their number again, 800-644-1150. Our number on the air, 877-PLANNER, 877-752-6637. Get to some of these emails here in just a couple of moments. Now, sort of finishing up something, and only because it brought Professor Plum, it animated you a little bit.
Made me mad a little bit.
Well, because sometimes the advice that's doled out, some of the suggestions that are doled out by, I'll just say journalists mostly. I'm not going to say advisors, because I don't think advisors really give this kind of advice.
Hope not.
Although they interviewed an advisor in Reuters in this article that I was referring to yesterday, and will refer to now. They interviewed some kind of advisor or planner or somebody who suggested some of these things that we do. Now, the title of it was Four Ways to Squeeze Inflation Risk from Your Portfolio. Okay, now, the first one they suggested was replace your bonds with Treasury inflation protected securities. Bad idea. Tips?
40% of your portfolio instead of in a strategic portfolio of bonds and other fixed income
right.
assets, just putting it into tips? Dumb.
No, very bad idea. So then they said, well, how about this? Replace your bond portfolio with metals.
Okay, that's dumber.
Meaning that in this case, a 60-40 mix of stocks and metals?
Yes. Obviously not talking about a retiree, but even if it's an accumulation play, that's not too good.
Well, they could be talking about a retiree. Who knows?
Well, if they're talking about a retiree, that's really bad.
It's really, really bad because there is no income then.
There's nothing.
There's nothing there for you to take.
All it is more volatility. And you can't live with volatility when you need to take an income from a portfolio.
They did mention that. They said volatility more than doubles to about 20% once you do that.
And the only way to get money out of that portfolio is to sell something because the metals don't pay dividends.
No.
Metals are metals.
They just sit there.
They sit there and look pretty on your ring, on your finger.
You can sell them later on, but anyway. Okay, so if we don't like those two, here are a couple more. The other suggestion to squeeze inflation risk from your portfolio, this from Reuters again, they suggest reduce your stocks to 50%, keep bonds at 30%, with 20% in precious metals. Your three-year volatility drops to just under 13%, with 3- and 5-year returns just under 10%.
Yeah, but they're talking about the last 3 to 5 years,
which, I'm saying they're not
which were great
this.
3 and 5 years, except for metals, they weren't all that great. Some metals did okay. But again, this is not a retirement income portfolio. This isn't a strategy. This isn't a way to take money out. This is a way to try to increase return and accept a certain amount of volatility. When you're pulling a distribution from a portfolio, volatility will kill you. I was just reading a new article about sequence of returns, meaning volatility, and how detrimental that can be for a portfolio if that first, they call it, Fidelity wrote something about this too, and I think it was Fidelity that wrote it and talked about the retirement red zone. What the market does in the years just before and just after your retirement date are major important. Just have a huge amount of importance on your overall portfolio. If those are bad years, you are not going to have as much fun in retirement as you would otherwise. If those are great years, almost anything works, I mean, within reason. So, and unfortunately, we can't predict what's going to happen at those periods of times. We don't have the time horizon to outlive them. So what they're talking about may work for a growth portfolio, one that has enough time, but it doesn't work for a distribution portfolio, somebody who wants to start taking money out. A 13% volatility, and that's within one standard deviation, so it's even great. The volatility is actually greater than that. If you start losing 13, 15, 18% in the first 2-3 years of retirement,
you are in real serious
trouble, and you're going to have to change your spending habits. Changing our spending habits is not what the goal is in retirement.
There's your plums down for you. Way down. So there's one more. We'll take a couple of calls, and then we'll tell you what the fourth one is. I'm not holding out hope that it's any good.
I am, but oh well.
Three out of the four have been rotten ideas. Okay, 877 Planner. We just lost a couple of people on hold. I don't mean lost them, but they hung up. So we do have a couple more lines open. 877-752-6637. Let's go next to Marilyn, Las Vegas, with a couple of questions. Hello, Marilyn.
Hi, how are you today?
Great, how are you?
I'm doing just great. I'm just calling because I'm a little concerned about the new bill that was passed about the extra benefits that you could get from Social Security.
Okay, tell us a little bit about your situation.
Oh, well, I'm 64, and I'm 63. I'll be 64 at the end of this year, and it seems like the older I get, the more they push it back.
Yeah, amazing, isn't it?
Your full retirement age is still 66. That has not changed.
Oh, really? Okay, well, unfortunately and fortunately, I did work for a government agency that did not take out Social Security, so I have a pension, which I cannot draw until 70, age 70 for full retirement. And then I also have worked and in various other jobs that I did pay into the Social Security, and it also will not be effective until I'm age 70. However, I'm working now, and I heard you on your radio show before say that if you can pay into some of it now, I would be able to maybe retire at 65 with full benefits from
Social Security. Well, there is no such thing really as full benefits unless you are maxing out for at least 35 years. So how large is this pension going to be?
I worked for Los Angeles County Department of Children's Services for 17.5 years. And it'll be substantial enough if I wait till age 70.
Okay. And then how much is your Social Security projected to be?
It's projected to be like, if I withdrew it now, it would be like something like maybe $800.
Is that before or after the windfall elimination provision when this pension starts?
I have no idea what you're talking about, but
so that's what before.
It is right now.
Okay.
Now, let me talk to you about the rules that passed last year. Are you currently married? Marilyn? Did I just lose Marilyn?
Uh-oh.
Unfortunately.
Put her on hold. See if she's something happened there. But we were on a roll there.
Yeah, unfortunately. If she's the only thing that's going to be affected by the rules that were passed last November is her ability. Actually, there's very little. She has a pension or will have a pension at 70 that she says is substantial. Assuming substantial means substantial, she won't have the ability to pull a spousal benefit for any time soon.
Now, she said that she did not pay into Social Security
with
that pension.
She had two jobs. She has paid into Social Security.
And then
she also worked in a position for 17 and a half years where she did not pay into Social Security. She earned a pension. So she will be hit by the government pension offset, and she will be hit by the windfall elimination provision. And the fact that she's seen a projection of her Social Security benefit at $800 a month and didn't know whether that was before or after the windfall elimination provision, that tells me that's before the impact of the windfall elimination provision. So now the only thing we need to know is she currently married, or was she ever married for at least 10 years in her history? Because we may want to do a few little things. One, her pension does not start until 70 for some reason. She is not going to be affected by the government pension offset or the windfall elimination provision. Those are the two issues that reduce a Social Security benefit when the owner also has a pension from work not covered by Social Security. They don't take effect until 70. So depending upon if she will ultimately be eligible for a spousal benefit, she could potentially take the spousal benefit from when she retires, or from 66 to 70 without any impact on it, and then switch over to her own at 70, which would be obviously larger, and so therefore the impact of the windfall elimination provision would be smaller. So there may be some gamesmanship to play here by not taking the pension until 70, taking the spousal benefit, letting hers grow, continuing to work in the period, and building up more years and maybe building up a better, bigger benefit, and try to get away from some of the impact of that windfall elimination benefit or provision and the government pension offset.
Yeah, and she's okay to do that because she was over the certain age.
She can still do the restricted application.
Yes, she's one of the few. We got to take a break. 877-PLANNER, our number, PLANNER. Don't go away. Another one we got to let play for a second.
Oh, great memory.
Just makes you want to hold a big steering wheel and, you know, sort of, you know, do the...
Actually, just wants me to... I just want to get into Trans Am and tear up the road.
Oh, okay. You want to be
the
bandit side.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right. 877-PLANNER, PLANNER. Okay, I was told, I think we have Marilyn back in the line. Marilyn, are you back with us?
Office where you don't get it, though. Extra perfect.
Oh. No, was that Marilyn?
I think
she
was talking to somebody else.
Okay, well, hold on a second. I tell you what, make sure Marilyn is there. We're going to come back to her here in just a couple of seconds. While we do that, I want to remind you that we got a couple of workshops coming up next month is when they're going to start. Yeah, it's a little early, but write it down. Keep track of it because Saturday, February 20th, they're going to begin again the 2016 Retirement Income Strategies Workshops. Brought to you by Lucia Capital Group. You can register at wealthed.com. Saturday the 20th is the next one, Las Vegas, Nevada. February 20th, Las Vegas, Nevada. Seattle, Washington is after that, February 27th. And in Phoenix, Arizona, Saturday, March 12th. Those are the next three. We have Las Vegas, Seattle, and Phoenix. There will be more after that. Check wealthed.com to find out exactly where and when we'll be visiting your town. All right, 877-PLANNER. We're okay with Marilyn now? Okay, Marilyn, are you still with us?
I am still with you.
Okay, good. I don't know what happened. Sorry about that. We were just about to get some vital pieces of information, and something happened to the phones. So what we have now, you just turned 63, and so you won't be 64 till the end of the year this year. You're going to continue to work. Professor Plum, go ahead.
Now, are you married right now?
Yes, I am.
And is your husband going to start taking a Social Security benefit anytime soon?
I robbed the cradle. My husband's younger than me.
Oh, okay. But when you're 66, no. is he going to start?
50. So
he's 50.
He's in his 50s. He's late 50s. So,
okay.
He's working and he's happy. And
okay, and so he's going to keep working for a while.
Oh yes.
So he'll probably work until he's 66, 67 years of age.
No, he's going to do 62, and then he's out.
Okay, now at 62, you're going to be 66, 67-ish.
I'll be older, yes.
Gotcha.
Okay. Well, the new rules that were passed on Social Security last November have no impact on you. You weren't going to be able to take advantage of them anyway.
Okay.
Because you can still do a restricted application, meaning you can take, once you get to full retirement age, you could potentially take a benefit from his work record, but only if he's actually receiving a benefit at that time. And that means he's got to be at least 62 to be doing that. By the way you're talking, he won't be 62 until you're closer to 70. So that's not going to be an issue. The other thing would be that you could, one thing it did affect is you could file and suspend your benefits so that he could get a benefit, but he's too young to do that too. So the rules they changed in November do not have an impact on you. Now the only issue is, what do you do about your Social Security and how do you go about doing it? The good news is you're not going to be impacted by the government pension offset or the windfall elimination provision until you start your pension at age 70, and then it'll have an effect. And what's going to happen is, let's assume that you start taking your Social Security at $800 a month when you hit full retirement age 66. And 4 years later, you turn on your pension. The Social Security Administration will see that pension and say, wait a minute, she's subject to the windfall elimination provision. Therefore, we're going to calculate her benefit under a slightly different formula. And instead of giving you $800 a month, they're going to reduce it to a little under $400 a month. And that's,
oh, that sounds absolutely horrible.
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
And horrible is what it is.
And horrible is what it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, and when you look at the projection on the Social Security statement that you receive every 5 years now, or actually you're probably receiving it every year now, they don't know that you're going to be subject to the windfall elimination. So they're showing you the full potential benefit without any impact of this other pension. So you have to understand that that pension, where you did not pay into Social Security for 17 and a half years, will have an issue, will play havoc on your Social Security benefit. Once you start receiving your pension, it won't be an issue until you actually start receiving your pension. But once you start receiving it, they're going to recalculate your Social Security benefit under a different formula.
What if I take them both at the same time at age 66 or at age 70?
It doesn't matter when you start taking the Social Security. It matters when you start taking the pension. And as soon as you start taking the pension, it will affect whatever Social Security you're getting or whenever you'll get it after that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I would still have to pay tax on it once I receive either one, right?
The pension will be taxable, and the majority of the, not all of it, but the majority of the Social Security will most likely be taxable.
Wow.
Now, is that because the pension is large enough to push that into the
She said
taxable?
It was substantial, so yeah. I'm going to go along with that.
Yeah, it'll be, I think in my calculation, it'll be over
$2,000. Okay. Well, with over $2,000, so call it $30,000 a year from there, you know, there's not much. Yeah, she's going to pay taxes on at least some, if not the majority of her Social Security.
Yeah.
Especially once, you know, if her husband's still working at that time or when his Social Security kicks in, their modified adjusted gross income is going to go up.
Yeah, actually, I assume your husband will probably be working at that the time that happens, right?
No.
Oh.
He's actually 3 years younger than me.
Okay.
So, but.
Well, 3 years works.
I'm sorry?
3 years works here now. We can play some games with 3 years. I was thinking that you were
saying
that he was
50 years old, like 10, 12 years younger than you.
When he retires at 62, you'll be 65. His numbers aren't working.
Okay, I'm 63. I'll be 64 in September this year.
Okay.
He'll be 61.
61?
Yeah.
Okay. So when he turns, he's going to quit working at 62, 63 years of age or so?
Yeah. So he's thinking about next year quitting, so that would be 62 for him.
Now, if he decides that he wants to take his Social Security benefit when he retires, once you hit 66, you can apply for half of his full retirement age benefit and get that benefit for 4 years and then turn over to your own benefit after that. Because this works really well, because if you don't take your pension until 70, you take half of his Social Security from age 66 until 70. Now, when the pension kicks in, it's going to wipe out the Social Security from him because of the government pension offset. So you flip over to your own benefit, but your $800 benefit has now grown to about $1,100. And so the reduction won't be as dramatic anymore. And so instead of getting $400, you'll get like $500 or $600 a month from that. So it gives you more money now, or at least 66 to 70, and then a little bit more money for the rest of your life. I love it when a plan comes together.
Yeah, so actually it works fairly well using those ages and those
3 years is a good age graph.
That's excellent. Does that help you out, Marilyn?
Yes, it does. Now, I can get a recording of this, right? Because I'm kind of like in a car situation and couldn't write this down.
That's okay. When he retires, give us a call.
Yeah, yeah. But you can hang on a second. Maybe we can tell you where you can hear the show again. We got to take a break. So, Marilyn, thank you very much for the call. I'm glad you called back. It does work better. Now, she's 63 and he's 50 or 51. doesn't work as well, but we have a three-year gap there. Okay, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. More to come. There's a scam alert out there. We'll tell you about that. 877-PLANNER. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum. It's Bucket Strategy Investing. Informed right here, entertained, and passing on the best in money strategies. It's Bucket Strategy Investing. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, 877-PLANNER, our number, P-L-A-N-N-E-R, 877-752-6637. A lot of stuff to talk about still yet this hour, including, by the way, let's get to it now. We were told that, and you got to watch out for these, another scam alert regarding what, Social Security? This from the Federal Trade Commission, of all things.
Right, the FTC has issued an alert, and it talks about an email that's going around, a phishing email. The subject line says, get protected. And the email talks about new features from Social Security Administration, not benefits, but just features from the Social Security Administration that can help taxpayers monitor their credit reports and know more about unauthorized reuse of a Social Security number. It even cites IRS and Social Security Administration official sounding SAFE Act of 2015. It's all bogus. They're just trying to get you to click on their link so they can get your information. So beware of a phishing scam that's coming around talking about your Social Security and how Social Security is going to monitor your number. That's not happening.
And I'm guessing, without looking, I'm guessing that it's some sort of link that you click on, and then once you get there, it does something to your computer, and then you also have to they'll say, well, let's check your Social Security number and see if
give us your Social Security number.
And
we'll
see
check
if it's one
you.
Of those. Yes, and put your name here and all the pertinent information. And we'll
be
tell
aware.
You if anybody's sort of the ultimate irony right there, or certainly irony writ large. Just be careful. Watch out for that. Don't click on anything. It's this time of year when we start getting the IRS emails again. Mm-hmm. It's just a whole lot of bogus. I still get calls every couple of weeks or so from somebody I could barely understand. Where they're that's from IRS, and there's a warrant issued for my arrest, and the cops will be there in an hour unless I call them back right now.
Really?
And yeah,
I've never gotten that one.
Oh, really? I must have gotten 20 of them.
I got one I'm selling something on Craigslist right now, and I got one saying I can't. The English was horrible.
Yeah,
I can't make it there, so I'm sending my agent. Yeah, we talk that way here. To basically drop off a check. I work at C, so I can't get in your area. I will pay your asking price. I will give you but it can't be in cash. I'm going to give you a check. So just send me your name and information so I can send you this check and include the shipping cost over and above the price because y'all have to ship it to me. Please.
Yeah.
You really think I'm that dumb?
Well, apparently there are people that are falling for this kind of thing. So watch out for that, especially older people who are on Social Security. Do not fall for this kind of thing. We had another one, too. We're going to get to some emails. But there was one. We talked last hour. Did you say anything? Did you say something about Minnesota, Professor Plum?
Well, I made the comment that Minnesotans like the outdoors. And so going there to give a seminar in the summer or the spring or fall doesn't do us any good because nobody shows up. They enjoy their
time
outside.
They're using the opportunity that they have to go fishing in the lake or something.
And I was saying that in the winter, they'll come and see a seminar because they've got nothing else to do. But I received a little note from a good friend of mine, Scott, in Minnesota, and said, I heard you mocking and ridiculing us up here in the frozen wasteland of Minnesota. Mm-mm-mm. No, I was not mocking and ridiculing. I'm saying, hey, you were taking advantage of the opportunities of the beautiful days that you have at times of the year. And he goes, but what you did say was all correct. Well, he says, we do have a warped sense of priorities when it comes to being outside in the wintertime. And yes, I choose to stare down a small hole in the ice for several hours of day while ice fishing.
I know people from Minnesota. They're
so desperate to get out of the house in the middle of January that they'll sit in a little hut on an iceberg, basically, fishing for ice.
Okay, fishing for ice.
Yeah, well, that's what are you going to pull? What else are you going to pull up out of there?
Well, I think there'd be some fish down there.
Yeah, frozen. It'd be fish sticks. They're frozen.
Well, thank you for that, Scott. We appreciate the email, and we like listeners and viewers who pay attention. 877-PLANNER. We got some lines open. Before I get to these other, the last thing from Reuters here, I got to get some emails because they've been stacking up, and I don't want to leave them too long. excuse me. Pardon me. That's always good. Let's see. This one from Lauren in Renton, Washington. One more time, says Lauren. I think Lauren may have emailed us before. My wife will be eligible for spousal benefits at age 62. Will she have to take that benefit, or can't she just take her own? If she does have to take spousal benefits, will it lower her survivor benefit after full retirement age? And Lauren says, thanks again.
Well, we've got a little bit backwards, Lauren. If she's at 62, she doesn't have a choice to take just the spousal benefit. She must take her own benefit. And if her benefit is larger than the spousal benefit, she won't get a spousal benefit. She can't get a spousal benefit. If you are under full retirement age, you don't have the option of choosing to take only a spousal benefit. You can only take the spousal benefit if it is larger than your own. And the reality is you're getting your own with a little bit more kicked in equal to the difference. And that difference is the spousal benefit, not the whole thing. But under either circumstance, whether she's taking her own or whether she's taking a spousal benefit prior to full retirement age, and then after she makes it to full retirement age, you pass away. Her taking her benefit early, her taking the spousal benefit early, does not affect the widow's benefit. The widow's benefit is based on what you were receiving when you died and her age when she applies for the widow's benefit. Now, if she's under full retirement age when she applies for the benefit, the widow's benefit gets reduced. But as long as she's over full retirement age, and that's what you asked about, as long as she's over full retirement age when she applies for the widow's benefit, she gets the whole thing. Even if she took hers at 62, even if she took a reduced spousal benefit at 62, the widow's benefit is a different game. It's not reduced because she took hers early.
No, and that's one of the differences between that and the regular spousal benefit.
Right, the spousal benefit is reduced. I mean, and if I take my benefit early at 62.
You're saying you and yeah.
Or if Lauren's wife takes her benefit at 62 and then later becomes eligible for a spousal benefit. Remember, Lauren, you have to be receiving your benefit before she can have a spousal benefit. And so let's assume that she turns 62, turns hers on, but you haven't turned yours on yet. So she can't turn the spousal on, even if it is bigger. But later on, you get to an age where you do turn your benefit on. Now she's potentially eligible for a spousal benefit. And let's assume that it is larger than what she's receiving. So she gets a little bit more. She gets $100, $200 of spousal benefit. That is going to be reduced because of her taking her own benefit early. She won't get the full 50% of spousal benefit if she takes hers early and then later signs up for the spousal benefit. That's the spousal retirement benefit. That's different than the widow's benefit. The widow's benefit is not reduced if she takes hers early. The spousal benefit is reduced if she takes hers early. It's easy, right?
Well, it is. Now, the widow's benefit is based on the age, really, of the person who passed away.
It's based on two ages. It's based on the benefit the owner of the benefit
and
was
then,
receiving.
Right.
And then if the widow is under full retirement age, it's reduced.
It's reduced from that point. But it does start. Spousal benefit, they just take the full retirement age benefit of the worker, and then it's reduced depending on what age the spouse
right.
is taking.
But if I take my if Lauren's wife takes her own benefit at 62 and then at 66 becomes eligible for a spousal benefit, and 50% of his benefit is larger than what she's receiving, she's not going to receive the full 50%.
All right.
The discount she took in her benefit is going to be applied to the spousal benefit as well. So
you got all that?
Retirement benefits coordinate. Widow's benefits do not.
All right, there. We've just given it that. Retirement benefits coordinate. Widow's benefits do not. And I think for obvious reasons. Because, you know, you don't generally have a choice on the death part. Nor do you know when that's going to happen. So retirement you do. Okay, let's see. Just a couple of minutes here. Let me see if I can find a quick, short email. Bill in Lake Oswego, Oregon. Our 401k was all in a guaranteed interest account last year. While it returned only 1%, the value of the dollar against a basket of currencies increased by 7.5%. It seems we did fairly well. Is my thinking flawed?
Well, no. You made 1% without any risk, and the S&P 500 with dividends reinvested only did, 1.4, 1.7, with a lot of risk. I mean, at one point, it was down quite a bit. It was up at one point. So you were able to achieve a similar rate of return to a stock market return. It wasn't very good, but it was still better, with no risk. Now, the currency thing that's not a big deal for you. It didn't affect your return. You can't say, well, I earned 8.5% because the currency, the dollar strengthened by 7.5% against the basket and I earned 1% over here. The only reason that that would make a difference is if you were actually going to travel abroad. Now, it can have an impact on what interest rates do in the future. It can have an impact on what stocks do in the future. You know, the currency valuations do have an impact on overall global economic conditions, but they didn't directly affect you in any way, shape, or form unless you're traveling to those areas and you actually owned those currencies that you were traveling to. You know, if you were going to go to England and the pound strengthened or weakened against the dollar, then you have a better or worse time buying things there. If you were going to any of the other countries where the currency that you were dealing with strengthened or weakened, then you have issues with that. It actually had gains or losses to it. But the way you're sitting right now, doing all your consuming here in the U.S., investing purely in a guaranteed account in the U.S., currency really didn't have much of an effect on you at all.
No, that's true. They don't take euros here anywhere near as I can tell, or pounds.
I had those for dinner last night.
Euros, that's right. 877-PLANNER, our number. More to come, trivia, etc. Your phone calls when we return. Don't go away. Motion in the ocean. Ooh, wow. I had to admit I loved this song when it came out. I was in college.
I still like it.
Yeah, it was great.
Still like the B-52.
Sure, why not? Don't take yourselves too seriously. Nobody should take themselves seriously, all right? At least we can all have some respect for you. All right, 877-PLANNER. We got some trivia coming up and a couple more emails to get to. But let's take a phone call or two before we have to end the hour. Let's see. Yes, Larry in Denver, Colorado is next. Hello, Larry.
Hey, guys. Thanks a lot for taking the call. Is this the Raymeister and the Professor of Peach?
Well, it's the John and the Professor. We're all here, yes.
Okay, great. I have a question about a CRUT, C-R-U-T.
Yes.
But the assets I'm wanting to put in it are a little bit off the wall. I've got a couple early or mid-60 muscle cars that for some strange reason, like if you look at these auctions here late January down at Scottsdale, these things that I paid $3,000 or $4,000 for, we did back some stuff, Mustangs, Shelbys, whatever, and now I've gone viral, crazy, over six figures.
Yeah.
If I wanted to put those in a trust, a charitable trust, I understand a little bit. I've just gone online and read a little bit about the transfer stuff. Real estate is pretty simple. It's a 20-year thing. If I put these things in a charitable trust, they go to the trust. How do any funds come back? And like in this case, I've got a couple of churches and charities and stuff like that. They're bona fide charities. How does the seller or the transferee, on being me, get any assets back if I give, let's say it's worth $50,000, I give that to the charity?
Well, you don't give it to the charity. You give it to the trust. And
the trust
holds on to the assets, or the trust sells the asset and turns it into cash and turns it into investments and then pays you an income. CRUT stands for Charitable Remainder Unit Trust. And what it's going to do is pay...
Correct.
It's going to pay out a specific percentage of the principal of the trust each year to you. Usually it's in the 4, 5, 6% range. So let's use 100,000 for ease of math. You put the vehicle in, the trust sells it for $100,000. The trust now is $100,000. It doesn't pay taxes because it's a charitable remainder trust. So now the trust has $100,000 and it's a 5% unit trust. It pays you $5,000. If it doesn't earn anything beginning of the next year, end of the first year, you have $95,000. Now they're going to pay you for the second year 5% of that new balance a little less than $5,000. If it's invested and it grows and it's now $110,000, they're going to pay you $5,500, 5% of that number. So each year there's a valuation of the trust assets, and each year the trust pays out a specific percentage to you as a distribution. And then,
so what does if all the money comes back to me, what does the charity get?
Well, if it's a 5% unit trust or a 5-6 whatever, the majority of the money can never come all the way back to you because it can never pay out more than what that number is, 5%.
So,
whatever is left in the trust at the end of the term, if it's a specific term, 20 years, or if it's a lifetime trust, whatever the term is when it's over, whatever's left in the trust goes to the charities that you've put in the trust.
Okay, so there would be a delay that the charity,
very much,
charity got something.
And we hope it's a long delay, that you live a long time.
Yeah. Okay.
And but that all plays into whether or not how much you can take out, because there's a valuation that has to go by. The future value that the charity gets has to be looked at as a today gift. But the dollar, you know, 30 years from now is not worth a dollar. So they have to bring it down in value. And so the current value of the future gift has to exceed a certain percentage of the value of the trust, given all these math equations. But it works. I mean, if you don't want to pay the taxes at collector rates, because a muscle car would be a collectible, and it would not be a capital gain rate of 15%.
Okay, what's the is a collector rate a different rate than capital gain?
It's your ordinary income rate up to 28%.
I see. I understand.
Plus whatever state Colorado is going to charge you.
Yeah, whatever they're there. Okay, well, that clarifies. I knew how to apply for real estate, and here in Colorado, real estate, this guy says you got to give them an appraisal every year, because real estate's just, this last year it went up 12%. It's nuts.
Right, but with a charitable gain or unit trust, usually you're putting the asset into it and immediately selling it. So it's very easy to value the trust after that, because you're going to have it in typical brokerage and marketable securities, cash, bonds, stocks, things of that nature, which are very easily valued. I mean, you have a statement at the end of every year from the brokerage company that's holding the money. It's not like real estate that has to be valued every year and go out and spend an appraisal, or even the cost of the car. Now, you do want to have some evaluations on putting the car in the trust.
So we do put the money, the trust money, in with the brokerage company, like a T. Rowe Price or a Fidelity or something like that.
Right. There's somebody. There's going to be an account in the name of the trust, or maybe multiple accounts in the name of the trust. And whether it's at a trust company, whether it's at a brokerage company, whatever, you know, you're going to have a trust document. It's going to have its own tax ID number, and you'll be the trustee of it. But it'll be a separate, distinct entity from you. And how you own it, what accounts you have, is up to you.
That's great. Thank you very, very much. It's really helpful.
You're very welcome, Larry. Hold on if you have some more questions. It's kind of a complicated thing, but these things can work for people who want to donate to a charity, but they're not ready to donate yet.
Well, and they want to get some beneficial interest from the specific asset.
So what happens is they will, with these charitable remainder trusts, they receive a certain amount of money from the
it's a delayed gift to the charity.
Yes.
And it's a way to turn a highly appreciated asset into an income stream based on the entire value rather than a diluted value after paying taxes.
Yeah.
And then ultimately, I don't really worry too much about the principal. It's going to go to somebody else, specifically a charity. And so, but the charity does not get the money right away. It gets it at the end of the term.
No, and the person will get, what is it, the lesser value of the amount that's in the uni trust account value.
You're talking about they get an income stream.
Yeah.
That's what the person gets, is an income stream. And as long as the math comes out and says that the future gift of the charity is equal to at least 10% of the original gift.
It has to be,
But that's also, if I were to put in a $100,000 asset, and the charity doesn't get that $100,000 until I die 20, 30, 40 years down the line.
Right.
I don't get a $100,000 deduction either. I get to take a deduction equal to the current value of that future gift. And so that $100,000 may only end up being a $20,000 charitable donation.
Because you wound up getting a lot of
the... Because I got a lot of the money over the next 20 years, 30 years, 4 years.
And you're not a charity.
I'm a charity case, but...
No, exactly. NIMCRUTs, that's what we call
it. Well, NIMCRUT's something else.
Yes, that just popped into my head.
Net income makeup.
Anyway, forget it. All right. We're out of time. If you need the brain trust, you can talk to Professor Plum about this or anything else at Lucia Capital Group. Their phone number, 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150. For Professor Rick Plum, I am Johnny Dean. This is Bucket Strategy Investing.
Information presented should not be considered specific tax, legal, or investment advice. You should always seek counsel of the appropriate advisor prior to making any investment decision. All investments are subject to risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee that any investing or financial planning strategy will be profitable, provide protection from loss, or meet its stated objectives. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Capital Group are also registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities, LLC, a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities, LLC. In the information presented, the opinions and views expressed are subject to change without notice and may not come to pass. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training.